We are on page 508 in the what's called the 13 Attributes of Mercy. For a good part of the summer, quarter to nine, because that's when Maariv is over. This is the latest Mincha Maariv, so it goes on for a while. Okay, I just want to go back to one concept which is relevant to the Yud Gimel Midas Rachmim also. We learned when Moshe Rabbeinu saw it was an auspicious time, and he said to Hashem, you know, show me your glory, show me your face. So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't show you my face, because no person could see me and live. Not only no person could see me, even the malachim, even the angels can't see me and live. So I'll show you my back. But we learned, what did Rashi say Moshe Rabbeinu was shown by Hashem? The knot of the tefillin. Okay? That was the knot of the tefillin is what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. So, it's like, what does this knot of the tefillin have to do with the post-Egel era? I mean, there has to be a connection. The Jews sinned. Hashem forgave the Jewish people. And because of that, he showed them the knot of the tefillin. What does the knot of the tefillin have to do with the sin of the Egel? So it's a very interesting concept. It's brought down, the Rebbe brings down in the Sicha, that there is a concept in the Zohar. It says, Rabchi and Rabbi Yesi, two rabbis of the Zohar, whenever they wanted to remember something, they would make a knot. They're making a knot, and if it's brought down in the world, people do that today. Memachta Knepel, it says. You make a kesher, and when you make a knot, that helps you to remember what you have to do. And then when they were learning Torah, they would make a knot to remind them of what they were learning. So the Rebbe in the Sicha brings down this whole concept of as follows. Where does the concept of a Jew being able to sin come from? If you think about it from a rational perspective, a Jew is, as the Pasuk says, we are Am Chacham V'Novin. We are an intellectual nation. We're called the nation of the book. But the Jews are an intellectual nation. The truth is, intellectually we know, like we learned, the one of the Baal Shem Tov's dominating concepts was that there is continuous creation. That not that Hashem created the world once and left. Hashem is constantly recreating the universe. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, La'olam Hashem, Dvarcha Nita Vashamayim. Your words are standing in the heaven. Okay? Now, what does it mean? The Medrash says, and Baal Shem Tov expounded on the Medrash, but it's really a Medrash Tehillim in another place. The Medrash says that the words that God created the world with are constantly standing in the heaven. Because, as he explains, if God's power would leave the world for a second, the world would become nothing again. And he gives the example we learned already, like when Hashem made the sea split, there had to be a constant force stopping the ocean from the water from going. The second the power was taken away, the ocean went back to its original force and power. So the truth is that Hashem is constantly creating the world. If Hashem is constantly creating the world, and Hashem is directly involved in the world, how is it possible for a person to sin? I mean, it's not something that's a long time ago that you can forget it. It is, on a continuous basis, Hashem is giving the existence of the universe. So the question is, how is it possible for a Jew to sin? What's the answer? The answer is, you forget. You forget, like we were learning before, between Mincha Maariv, a Jew has emunah, they believe in God, and yet a Jew will sin. So the question, if they're aware of this belief in God, then he can't sin. If you're consciously aware that God is watching and seeing what you're doing, how in the world can you sin? What is the answer? Sin comes from the concept of shikha, of forgetfulness. You forget. All you need is a reminder, but between reminders, we have a very short memory span. You know, there's an interesting halacha in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. You know, in order for a person to be punished for sinning, they need two witnesses. and they have to be warned. Okay? The witnesses have to warn you. If the witnesses don't warn you, you don't get stoned, you don't get killed with a sword, you don't get the four deaths of Beis Din, you don't get mouth, even lashes, you don't get. Halacha says, the warning has to come immediately prior to the act. How much prior to the act? Within the amount of time it takes to say three words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. It's called in Halacha Toch Kedei Dibur. Okay? It's a lot of halacha ramification. If you forget something, you remind yourself right away, you know. Within the amount of time it takes to say three words, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, that's how within that time they have to warn you right before the act. So let's say for argument's sake it takes 3 seconds to say those three words. If they warn you 10 seconds before the act, you don't get punished. Why? Because halacha says you might have forgotten the warning. People have short memory spans. So therefore, it says the whole concept of sin comes about because a Jew forgets that Hashem is present. Hashem is creating the world. So the egel came about because the Jews forgot that Hashem is creating the world, and Hashem gave him the Torah. So what's the medicine for that? Not to forget. That is the concept of kesher shel tefillin. The kesher, because if you look at somebody's tefillin in the back, you see the straps more than you see the knot. In the back, look at somebody who's wearing tefillin, look at their back, you're going to see the straps that go all the way down, much more than the knot. But what does the knot of tefillin represent? Tefillin is binding your mind and heart to God. The knot of the tefillin, like we said before, people, in order not to forget, would make a kesher, would make a bow, make a knot that they shouldn't forget. And probably the reason is because they become bound to it. You know, when you by knotting it, you become bound to the thing, and therefore you don't forget it. So what's the concept of it? Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want to make sure that the Jews don't sin again in the tefillin, I'm going to show you the knot of the tefillin. It's not stam. There's a reason why Hashem is showing in kesher shel tefillin, because this is to remind the Jew to take away the forgetfulness that they shouldn't come to do any more avedus. This is that the concept. Okay, now we're basically back to the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, on page 508. 508, we're up to Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ve'yaver Hashem alponov, and Hashem passed. In other words, like Hashem said, I'll put you in the rock, and you know, you'll be hidden, and then I'm going to pass over, and you'll see the back of my tefillin. But ve'yaver Hashem alponov, Hashem passed before him, and Vayikra, and he called like this. And these are, like we said last week, are the Yud Gimel Midas Rachman. What are they? Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun. We'll take the simple definition and we'll explain each one. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, the compassionate and gracious. Erech Apayim, slow to anger. V'rav Chesed, and abundant in kindness. V'emes, in truth. Okay, this is the first numbers. And then the Pasuk says, Neitzeh Chesed Lo Alofim. These are all part of the 13.
When is the end of the 13?
By Venake.
Which one is actually the
13? Oh, okay. So the 13 goes like this. By the way, as everything in Judaism, there are different opinions. Which ones of the Pasuk? But the way most people learn nothing like this, Hashem is one. By the way, if you have the English, the Chumash, at the bottom of 509, at the bottom, he goes through all the 13. Yeah, I mean, he says what each one is. Hashem is one, Hashem is two, Kael is three, Rachum is four, Chanun is five, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed is seven. The Emes is truth. Okay? Then the ninth one is Neitzeh Chesed La'alofim, preserver of kindness for 2,000 generations. Okay? Then he says Neisei Oven. Okay? And then God carries, forgives, Oven, Pesha, V'chato, which are three different types of sins that we're going to discuss, V'nakei, and he cleanses. Okay, these are the 13 attributes of mercy. There are opinions that hold that Hashem Hashem is not two, Hashem Hashem is one, and then there's another, you know, but most of them agree that this is the way it works. In fact, last week we mentioned that the Gemara asks the question, why does it have to be Hashem Hashem? What's the double expression Hashem Hashem? It says one is before the sin, one is after the sin. So the commentators ask, why do you need before the sin Hashem's mercy if the guy didn't sin? So the answer is because Hashem knows they're going to sin. Right? That's what most people say. Or, as we mentioned last week, Dor HaChaim HaKadosh explains that what does it mean that Hashem is patient before the sin? Because even though you don't sin, but you don't have mitzvahs. Remember he said, Blessed Blazer the Daya, he cleansed the evil, but he doesn't have the mitzvahs. Okay. So now, let's go through each one of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Okay?
Rabbi?
Yep.
Vayikra.
Hashem called. No. we mentioned this, I think it was last week. Vayikra is two opinions also. Some of us should learn here. He brings on, simply Vayikra Hashem called the 13 attributes of mercy. V'yashayimnim, the Vayikra is called a Meisha. The Meisha Rabbeinu called, Vayikra refers to Meisha Rabbeinu called, meaning Hashem instilled within him the knowledge to say the 13 attributes of mercy. So there's two opinions. Most opinions say simply Vayikra means Hashem. Hashem was the one that called, not Meisha Rabbeinu. But some people say it was that Meisha Rabbeinu did it. Okay, now, Hashem, Hashem, as we'll soon see, there's different names of Hashem. Okay? We know there's what's called in the Gemara, and it's brought down in Halacha, the Shava Shemei She'enem Nimchakim. There are seven names of God that you're not allowed to erase. Talk about in Hebrew. You have Hashem, and you have Elohim, and you have Kel, and you have Tzvois, and you have Shaddai. These are all the seven names of Hashem, which correspond with the seven Midas. There's a famous Medrash, we learned it much earlier, but it was a long time ago. There's a Medrash that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's your name? So Hashem said, But the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, what's your name? So the Medrash says like this, that Hashem answered him, Shmi Atareita Leida, Lefi Maisei Ani Nikra. You want to know my name? What name? It depends what I'm doing. It depends which hat I'm wearing. Based on the hat I'm wearing, that's the name I have. What does this mean? And it's very relevant because a lot of the names of Hashem are in this Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. The whole concept of a name we learned in the past, a person himself doesn't need a name. A person doesn't need a name. If you're the only one around, you don't need a name. What's the concept of a name? The concept of a name is for people to talk about you, to identify with others. If you're the only one in the world, you don't need a name. Why do you need a name? Because if there's 100 people and a person wants to identify you, so how do they identify you? By saying, calling your name. Right? So a name of the person is not really the person himself. It's the way he interacts with world. Behavior, whatever it is. The same thing by Hashem. When Hashem has a name, Hashem himself is nameless. Hashem himself is higher than a name. Right? Like we learned many times. You have Anoichi, Hashem Elokecha. Or you make a bracha, is Baruch Atah, Hashem Elokeinu. Right? There is a level of Hashem himself, which is higher than any name. It's what's called Anoichi, if he's speaking first person. If it's second person, it's Atah. Then you have the way Hashem associates himself with world. Okay, with creation. Over there refers to Hashem's midas. The emotional attributes of Hashem. Meaning, when Hashem is doing chesed, he has one name. when he is doing punishment, he's called another name. What do you mean called the name? It's Hashem's identification with the world, the way Hashem interacts with the world. That's the name that he does. So for instance, the name Kael, because we say Hashem Hashem Kael Kael Rachum V'Chanun, Kael is the attribute of Chesed. Because the Pasuk says in Tillim, Chesed Kael Kol Hayim. David HaMelech says in Tillim, Chesed Kael Kol Hayim. Mechesed is the level of Kael. So when the name of Kael is revealed, it's the attribute of Chesed. When Hashem is doing punishment, or limitation, or tzimtzum of any sort, then he's called Elokim. Like we have at the beginning of creation, it doesn't say Bereishis Bara Hashem, Bereishis Bara Elokim, because in order to create the world, Hashem had to limit himself, the concept of tzimtzum. So Hashem then is being called Elokim, because how is Hashem interacting with world? Not in a way of chesed, but in a way of gvura, of punishment, of strictness, of limitation. Why is a dayan? In Parshas Mishpatim it says, Elokim lo yisakalel. Or it says, by an eved that wants to stay longer, you know, after the 6 years, it says, V'gishi adonav elho elokim. What does elokim mean? A judge, bezdin. So it says, why is bezdin called elokim? Why is the Bezdin called Elokim? Because what does the Bezdin do? They do din. Din. He can't be a nice guy. Somebody murdered somebody. He said, okay, I'm going to be a nice guy. Let him off the hook. He can't do that. That's not a Bezdin. That's a fool. What is a Bezdin? Din. Judgment is Gvura. Therefore, the Pasuk says, and it's quoted in Pirkei Avos, the Pasuk, and it says, Elokim. I just had the Pasuk. No, it says in Pirkei Avos. No, Elokim Nitzav Badas. No, Bekerev Elokim Yishpeit. Bekerev Elokim Yishpeit. Right? No, the Elokim is Yishpeit, judgment. So when Hashem is doing judgment, he's called Elokim. When Hashem is doing mercy, Dachmonus is not Chesed. There's kindness and there's mercy. Mercy is the name of Yudkei Vavkei. Okay, so the name of Yud Kevavke is the Midas HaRachamim.
It's above all the names, no?
Right. Well, that's why one of the reasons explained this. Why is there Hashem Hashem? In Kabbalah and Chassidus it explains, there is two levels of Yud Kevavke. That's one of the reasons why it's Hashem Hashem. I mean, what do you say Hashem Hashem? You don't say Kel Kel. You don't say Elokim Elokim. Why do you say Hashem Hashem? Because there's two levels of Yud Kevavke. There's one level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the tetragram, as it's called in English, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the essential name of God. What's the holiest name of God? Yud Kei Vav Kei. So there's one level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which ascends all other names of God, and there's one name of Hashem, which is a lower level, which is one of the names like all the other names are. So there's a level of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is higher than all the other names. It's the essential name of Hashem. And then you have a level of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is equal to all the other names. One second. Which is the same as all the other names. So the concept of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei is actually the name of Rachmanus. So the first, you're talking about the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. You talk about the 13 attributes of mercy. So it starts with the name of Hashem, which is the attribute of mercy. What did you want, sir?
I was just wondering if the two levels is that, like, there's really...
Speak louder, please.
Oh, okay. There's a real name of Hashem, right? The long name, you know, like, I don't know,
27... That's all playing around with the Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is, why is there two levels? Is that one actually represents that long name, and one is actually just Yud Kei Vav Kei?
That's not. It's a good concept, but it's not what it says.
Okay.
And in these Kabbalah things, we don't make them up ourselves. You can only go by what it says.
So how about Atabi, Atah, the word Atah be higher than this cave of Kenan?
Because Atah means the level of God which is above any name, meaning the way God is by himself, not the way he's associating with world.
But we are allowed to, in case if he gets erased, we don't get punished for that. But
because Atah is not a name of Hashem, there's no holiness. Atah means you. You. Like Anoichi means I, Atah means you. There's no holiness to the word you. I'll give you an example. One of the names of God is the word Shalom. Okay, Shalom is one of the names of God. So the Gemara says, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch also. So if a guy, there are people that have a name Shalom, right? So, are you allowed to say God's name in the bathroom?
No.
If somebody has a name Shalom, can you call Hey Shalom in the mikveh? Can you say, Hey Shalom, come here? I Shalom is the name of God. But here you're not talking to God, you're talking to a person who has the name. Okay? I mean, no person is going to give the name Yudke Vavke. I mean, you might find him, Mishu Goyim.
Netzach,
well, in the name of Yudke Vavke itself, there is, I mean, you could talk about Yudke Vavke for years, just on the name of Yudke Vavke. The simple concept of Yud Kei Vav Kei, because it's, you know, it's pretty important in Yiddishkeit, this name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Besides the fact that Yud Kei Vav Kei equals 26, okay? That's when you write it, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But if you look at the vowels under the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, we don't pronounce the name of God that way. Okay? The Lahavdol, billions, billions of Avdolas, the witnesses, the blank witnesses, you know, but so over there, they pronounce it, they try, but they mix up the Yud with a J. But you see the way we don't pronounce it. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to pronounce Hashem's name that way. Mm-hmm. But we're not on that level to be able to pronounce it on that way. So it's interesting. We pronounce the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, so it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei. How do we pronounce it? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adon, right? Now, so there's the name of God the way it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's the name of God, the way it's pronounced. Which is very interesting. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says, in many places, Godol ha'eina amen, yeisem min ha'mavarech. The Gemara says, the one that says amen to a bracha, like if I say amen on your bracha, I'm greater than you. The Gemara says, Godol ha'eina amen, yeisem min ha'mavarech. So, what's why? What's the reason? So the simple reason brought down is because you like second the motion. Like somebody comes up with a motion and you say, I second it. So what is the first person making the bracha says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem is great. And you're saying, Amen, so you're like seconding the motion, so you finalize the motion. That's the simple meaning. Shulchan Aruch also brings down another concept. Amen, Aleph Mem Nun, equals 91. Now, Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Ado Aleph Dalet Nun Yud equals 65. How much is 65 plus 26? 91. So the guy that makes the bracha only has the pronunciation of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which equals 65. But when you answer Amen, you have 91, you have the way Hashem's name is written, and the way Hashem's name is pronounced. So the word Amen itself has the writing and the pronunciation of Hashem's name, while the one that makes the bracha is only saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. He doesn't have the way Hashem's name is written.
How come a person like you, who stands next to the Eibishter day in and day out, with everything you do, you
good.
Didn't name Mendel or Yaakov Shalom?
Rabbi, excuse me.
It's a very deep question. Too deep for my head.
Rabbi, is that why he said you shouldn't say Amen for no reason? Just like
that's why it says you're not allowed to say Amen. Amen is a certain, not that it's holy. I mean, you can't say Amen in a bathroom either. What happens if you're inside a mikveh, let's say, or a bathroom, and you hear somebody make a bracha? Can you answer Amen?
No.
Why not? Amen means true. Because Amen has a certain level of Kedusha. Amen stands for Kel Melech Neman. I mean, there's so many concepts of Amen. Anyway, let's get back to Yudke Vavke. So you have now Yudke Vavke equals 26. In addition to that, Yudke Vavke, if you play around with the letters, okay, and you move them around, you have the word Haya, Hove, and Yihye. You look at the name Yudke Vavke, okay? You have Haya, Hove, and then Yihye, okay? Which means, what is the name of Yudke Vavke? Yudke Vavke represents the supernatural. Elokim equals 86. Elokim equals 86, which is the numerical value of the word Hateva, the nature. Because Teva is what's called Tubu. What is Teva? Nature. Teva, it says in Sfarim, comes from the word Tubu Biyamsuf, sunken in the sea. Teva means godliness is concealed. It's sunken in nature. Nature is godliness concealed. Okay? What does Havaya mean? In addition to the word, we call it Havaya. You can vote because you don't want to pronounce the real name. Yudke Vavke, number one, is the word Mahava, creator. And the Yud in Hebrew at the beginning of the word does not only mean future, but it means constant. There's a pasuk that says, Chassidus brings down, Kocha Yase E of Kol HaYomim. It means, so E of does constantly. So Yase in Hebrew, the Yud means future tense in Hebrew. But Yud at the beginning of a word also means continuously. Okay, so what does Yudke Vavke mean? Yudke Vavke is the concept of continuous creation. Okay, so you have creator, which automatically means he's supernatural. Plus it means Ha-Yahayva V'Yihiyah. So Yudke Vavke represents the name of God in the supernatural level. The way God is supernatural, above nature, above world, above limitations, and so on. Now, in the Yudke Vavke, now in Hebrew, the name Yudke Vavke is Yud, He, Vav, and the He. Now, the letter Yud is a Yud, but when you write out Yud, if you take the letter Yud and write it out, how do you pronounce Yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet is Yud. Hey could be Hey, 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 Yud, or Hey, Aleph. Vav could be Vav, Vav, or Vav, Aleph, Vav. And again, Hey could be Hey, Aleph, Hey, Hey, or Hey, Yud. Okay? Now, when you take the name of God, and this shows, I mean, it's mind-boggling, all this stuff. When you take the name of Hashem, and let's say you write out the full name of God, in other words, you write out the Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, or Hey Hey, or Hey Yud, and Vav Vav Vav, or Vav Aleph Vav, and again Hey, you get four combinations. You get four combinations. It equals either 45, 52, 63, or 72.
What combination for all of
them? If you write Yud Vav Dalet, then Hey Yud, and Vav Vav, and Hey Yud, it's going to equal 72.
Each four combinations.
Right. Now, because Hey Hey could be Hey spelled differently, and Vav could be spelled differently.
But each four combination gives you 72.
No. Either 45, 52, 63, or 72. Which in Kabbalah language is called Shem Ma, Shem Ban, Shem Sag, and Shem Ab. Okay? Now, what's interesting, there's a pasuk that says, Adam ubehema toshi Hashem. Hashem says, saves Adam and Behema. On the throne of God, there's the Adam, in the Nevuah of Yecheskel, yeah, that we read after in the first day of Shavuos. There is the Adam Shalakisei, and there's the Behemoth on the, you know, the Shor, the Nesher, and so on. Adam equals 45. Behema equals 52. So Adam is the name of Ma, and Behema is the name Ban. Okay, so you have in the Gamanation of Alukus, what's brought down in Kabbalah and Chassidus, you have the name of God that's Ma, Ban, Sag, and Ab. Now, there's a very interesting question asked. Ma is the Mem Dan the Hey, right? Why do we call it Ban? We should call it Nab. How do you say 52 in Hebrew? Nun Beis. You don't say Beis Nun. Ma is Mem Hey. Sag is Samach Gimel. Ab is Ayin Beis. So Ban should be Nun Beis. Right? Why do we call it in Kabbalah Shem Ban rather than Shem Nab? Mm-hmm. Same letters, but normally you say, you don't say Haim, Haimem, or Gas. You say Sag, Ban, you know. So why do you say Ban? So it sounds like this. Mem and Hey, Ma, is 45. 4 and 5 equals 9. Okay, let's get Ban for a second. Sag is 63. 6 and 3 is 9. Ab is 72. 7 and 2 is 9. What's special about the number 9? Emes is 441 equals 9. When we get to Emes, we'll talk about that, right? So, but Ban, but Nab is 52 equals 7. You don't have the 9. But Ban will make it 9. Why? It's brought down in Svarim. It's all brought down in Chassidus, Kabbalah, all this stuff. But it's brought down in Svarim like this. The last letter of the Alabase is Tough, which equals 400. Okay? It's brought down in Svarim that discussed the letters of the Alabase, that now you go to the end letters. Chav Sofit, the line Chav, the long, the end Chav, is 500. The end Mem is 600. The long Nun is 700. The long Pei is 800. Right? So now when you write Beis Nun, the long Nun is 700. So Ban is 702. 7 and 2 equals 9. So it's brought down, that's why it's not called the name of Nab, because we want it to equal 9. Because 9 is Emes. Why, not only that, we learned already in the past many times, why is the number 9 connected to Emes? Because 9 is the only number in math that any multiple of 9 equals 9. Like 9 times 2 is 18, 1 and 8 is 9. 3 times 9 is 27, 2 and 7 is 9. 36, 45, 54, 63, 72,
81.
Good. Any, you know your math. Any multiple of 9.
He knows his math.
Any multiple of 9 equals 9. What does that show? That 9 is such a true number? There is an expression in Rabag, that Rabag says in Tanakh, Ha'emes maskim la'atzmei mikol tzad. Truth agrees with it at every angle. So therefore, the name of Yukivavki, when we want to speak about Nab, we don't want to say Nab, which is 7, but we say Ban, which equals 702, which is 9. Yes, sir?
Rabbi,
if I'm so close to God,
I yeah. haven't kept you up to date, but my grandson...
Thank you for sharing.
...is going to be a Chabad rabbi...
Oh, God.
...before the year is out.
No, Mazel Tov, what does that have to do with
and
this?
Wait, his name is Shalom. Adam.
Huh?
Is the Chabad going to punish him or do something...
We'll have a meeting about it. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi,
what?
Shabbat is also 702. Is that the name of God related to the Ban?
Shabbos is 4 and 6. What are you talking about? Shabbos is not 9. Shabbos is 7.
702 is Shabbat.
No, it's not. Right, I'm sorry. 702, right. It's also 9.
No, I'm saying 702, like Ban.
But the food, we said this already once before, all the foods you eat on Shabbos equal 7, though.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Rabbi.
There's no truth in this.
Shabbos, though, is... Oh, sorry. Shabbos is the emes of creation.
I understand.
Right. Okay.
Chabad is not going to do anything to
I don't know.
We'll he's my grandson?
Marty, not now. Okay, so therefore he says like this. The concept of Hashem, the first two names of Hashem... represent the attribute of mercy, the way Hashem has the mercy, not only after we sin, but even before the sin, and this is the mercy that Hashem has. What is the third name of the Yud Gimel Midas Serachmim? The third name is, after Hashem, Hashem is Kel. Now, what does Kel mean? Kel, there's a pasuk in Tanakh that says, Vesayele ha'oretz lokach, he took the strong people from the land. So Kel is the expression of strength and might, meaning that if a person doesn't, or if he doesn't sin, or he does tshuva, or God forbid, if a person sins and does tshuva, Hashem will give him, be strong with him, meaning Hashem, and this is the 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem will be very strong with you, meaning he will give you things that you normally don't get. And that's the attribute of chesed. What is chesed? Chesed is when you give somebody something they don't really deserve. If a guy comes to you, he works for you, okay, at the end of the week he comes for a check, you're not doing him a chesed. He worked, you owe him the money. He's not, you're not doing an act of kindness. It's not chesed. Chesed is when you give something somebody they don't deserve. That's the concept of chesed. You give tzedakah, the guy worked for you? No. Chesed, you give somebody something they don't deserve. Meaning, you're coming from a stronger strength that even though the person may not deserve it, you give it to them anyway. That's what the name of Kel is. Kel is the name of Hashem, that it's mercy, but a powerful mercy that gives you more than what you deserve.
Does that have anything to do with Abraham? Abraham Avinu at all?
Yeah, Abraham Avinu was,
since he was yeah.
Chesed,
but
correct.
But it's mercy, not chesed.
It's Hashem, Rav Chesed, we learn, these are all different aspects of the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, but even the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, you have the level of Kel and Elokim and Chesed and all that. But it's all done through the, like in the Midas, right? It's Sfiras HaEmer, you have a week of Teferis. But you have Chesed Shebet Teferis, you have Gevura Shebet Teferis, you have Teferis Shebet Teferis, you have Netz, you have each one of them. First, I'll give you an example. In a clear example, what's the difference between, there's an attribute of chesed, right? Then you have, let's say, in chesed itself, you have chesed sheba chesed and gvura sheba chesed. Then you have in gvura, you have chesed sheba gvura and gvura sheba gvura. What's the difference between gvura sheba chesed and chesed sheba gvura? So it's a very simple difference. When a father punishes the child. A father is punishing the child. Openly, what is he doing? An act of gevura. But what is it really? It's really chesed. He loves the kid. He wants to discipline the kid. He's doing the kid good. So outwardly, he's doing an act of chesed. I mean of gevura. But it's really chesed. If a kid wants to play with something dangerous, or do something dangerous, so you're going to let them because you're a nice guy. So you're doing an act of chesed. But it's really gvura, because the kid's going to get hurt. So you have each one is really composed of all the others. So even in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, you still have chesed, and you have kel, and you have elokim, you know, of all these various different levels. Okay, what is that? Huh? You're hurting him by giving it to him. If a parent cheats for the kid and does their homework and does their tests, outwardly, what are you doing?
Cheating.
Kindness.
Chesed.
So this is the chesed to the
gvura. Right, but really, you're not doing the kid any favor. You're hurting the kid.
So the gvura here is a kind of like punishment.
Right.
She has seven names then. Hashem has seven names.
But Rachamim is a higher level than Chesed. Than Chesed.
Chesed and Rachamim, from one side, officially Chesed is higher than Teferis, which is Rachamim. But the truth is, Rachamim comes from a higher source than Chesed does.
So it's higher.
It's higher. But it, openly it's lower. Because Chesed is higher than Gevura, than Teferis, than, you know. It's really a pasuk in, it's in Divrei Hayamim, but we say it every day in davening. In Vayivarach David, what do we say? Locho Hashem, Hagdula, Vagvura, Vateferes, Vaneitach, Vyahed, Kichel is Yisod, and Shemayim Varsism, Locho Hashem, Hamamloch is Malchus. Okay, what does Rachum mean? Rachum is compassionate, meaning Hashem is the fourth mid of Rachmanis is that even if a person doesn't and doesn't do tshuva yet, Hashem still has Rachmanis on him. Hashem still treats him with mercy, not the punishment as much as he should. If you think about it for a second, a guy that's a total sinner, a non-believer in God, right? Why in the world does God keep him?
It's like entertainment.
For whom?
For God.
To keep him?
It's like entertainment. He's got this little thing here over there, like,
I mean, if you think about it rationally, there's no reason. Can you imagine a worker that does everything the opposite of what the boss tells him to do? What does the boss do? Keep him for entertainment?
No,
you get rid of him, right? So if you think about Hashem should fire.
You wait for him to do tshuva, right?
So, but until then, Hashem still has. This is what the rachum is. Rachum means the fourth attribute of Yigim Mumin Sarachmim is that Hashem has rachman asanim even doesn't sin. Kael is that when a person does tshuva, he gives him more than what the person deserves, which is also mercy from Hashem. But this mercy is a level that even if not, Hashem is not going to destroy him. Chanun, what does chanun mean? Chanun comes from the word matnas chinam, gifts for free. Chanun comes from the word chinam, meaning the tzaddikim that don't want to benefit from this world, that they do because they want the world to come, so therefore Hashem gives them good as a gift. What does this mean? The Mefarshim explain like this. Tzaddikim don't want reward in this world, because they know this world is temporary. Why should they get a temporary reward here when they can have a permanent reward in the world to come? Okay? So therefore Hashem says, for tzaddikim, they don't want it in this world. What does Hashem do though? Hashem gives them good anyway in this world. Why? Not as reward for what they did, because the reward he's saving for a Gan Eden. Hashem is giving them a gift for free, a bonus. A bonus that they'll have it good in this world. That's what chanun is. Erech apayim. This is another remarkable concept. Erech apayim means slow to anger. What does it mean God is slow to anger? Hashem technically should punish sinners as soon as they sin. You know, like people are afraid if they sin, lightning's going to come down and strike them. The truth is, there should be instant punishment. What does it mean, Erech HaPayim? Erech HaPayim means that Hashem is patient. Now, the Mefarshim explain, why does it say Erech HaPayim, plural? Af, you know, is singular for anger. Why does it say Erech HaPayim? Because he says it goes for Tzaddikim and Rishoyim. Hashem is patient, both for the Tzaddikim, meaning Hashem does not reward them right away, and Hashem doesn't punish the wicked right away. Because Hashem wants the people to do tshuva. And therefore Hashem is very slow to anger, even though rather God should have a terrible temper. He doesn't, because he wants to give them a chance to do tshuva, or for the tzaddikim to get the reward, the real reward in the world to come.
But in Parsha Shlach, after 10 times, Hashem got angry of seeing the Jews committing.
How much patience do you want?
That's what the thing I think is it correct to say Hashem will lose his temper after 10 times of actually committing the same sin over.
Let me ask you a question. You bring up a very good point, but let's think for a second.
You said a little bit.
God, 1 second. If I smack you in the face once.
It's a blessing.
That's you. Okay.
If you watch Rabbi, I didn't hear you.
If I smack you in the face once, okay, I'll ask forgiveness. You might forgive me. I do it the second time, it's going to be harder to forgive. Correct? I'll do it 30 times. You're going to tell me, go. You know, you're not going to forgive me. Why is that? Because our patience and our forgiveness is limited. Mugbal. If it's limited, once you can tolerate, twice you can, and it gets, as it goes on, it gets less and less tolerant, right? What happens though if somebody has infinite patience? Infinite patience. Infinite forgiveness. There's no difference if you sin once, twice, 50 times, 60 times. If you unlimited patience, I smack you in the face 100 times, there's no difference between the 100th time and the first time. By the way, this explains, says in, it's Mefoshim of the Siddur, but Dr. Rebbe brings it down in Tanya, when you say in Shemoneh Esrei, what do we say? Slach lono avinu ki chatanu, mechalam makini ki vashanu. What do we say? Baruch ato Hashem. Chanun.
Hamarbe.
Hamarbe l'sloyach means, we don't say chanun that's sloyach. Marbe l'sloyach means, Hashem has infinite forgiveness. Which means, that by Hashem we can sin once, and we do tshuva, He'll forgive us. We'll do it again, He'll forgive us. We could do it a million times, the same sin. And we do tshuva, Hashem will still forgive us. Why? And it says a person's supposed to learn from Hashem, by the way. Person's supposed to learn from Hashem. In fact, it's brought down, we discussed this concept in many different times. God works with us the way we work towards others, right? You give tzedakah, God will give us tzedakah. You don't give tzedakah, why should God give you tzedakah, right? You help somebody else, God will help you. You don't help somebody else, why should God help you? So, it says that if a person doesn't forgive other people for something they do to you, so God says, 1 minute, you do the same thing to me, worse, you do it a million times, why should I forgive you? Right? But what do we say? And this fact, it says, that's what the next one is called. Virav Chesed, the next name, the Yud Gimel is Virav Chesed means an abundance of Chesed. Erech Apayim means Hashem is super patient in His anger. But the truth is, after 10 times Hashem says, okay, you know, guys, enough is enough. So but that's time. Not because of Hashem, it's because of the person. Because of the Jew. Hashem is saying to the Jew, how many times can you sin already? Not because Hashem will forgive less or more, because by Hashem's forgiveness is unlimited.
So we didn't drive him crazy then? Or the 10th time? I mean, I'm talking about the time we got raised there.
Is it Hashem? No. Hashem says, enough already. What are you doing for yourself? What are you doing already? Not for Hashem. Hashem is unlimited kindness. It all has to do with the people. When Hashem says, V'yinasu eisi esipamim, you tested me already 10 times and you didn't listen to me, right? And Hashem Kaviyachol is supposed to be supposedly angry at them.
What does that have to do with
the person? Hashem says, how much can you sin already? Yeah. Didn't you learn a lesson already by now?
Yeah, but you said a person can sin 100 times.
That's it from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, you can sin 100 times, but you tell Hashem, I'm sorry, you do tshuva, Hashem will forgive you.
Sincerely.
Yeah.
From Chesed too?
This is Rav Chesed. This is the next. Rav Chesed means he does not only regular Chesed. Even if a person doesn't even have merits, Hashem gives you merits. But Erech HaPayim is, so to speak, in the negative, that Hashem, even when a person is trying to sin and he's not doing it any good, Hashem is lengthening the time. Give you an example. By the flood, after Hashem already decided to destroy the people, He gave him another 120 years. Hashem said, I'm going to give him 120 years to do tshuva. That's why it took Noah 120 years to build the teva. Why did it take him 120 years, Rashi says, in Chumash, to give the people a chance to do tshuva? Hashem already said 120 years earlier He's going to destroy them.
To the Jewish people?
No, before the flood, there was no Jews.
Oh. He was waiting for the mother.
Okay. The next one is Virav Chesed. He didn't have his mother-in-law on the table.
I'm not going away.
I know. Okay, the next one is Virav Chesed. Virav Chesed actually means an abundance of chesed. But, you know, we say in a davening, and it's sometimes, you know, we just davened. We hacked the words. And you stop to think for a second. Before Shema, we say like this. In Ava Salem, we say, Avinu Av HaRachamon, HaMerachim Racham No Aleinu. Okay? What do we say in the davening? Avinu, our father. Av HaRachamon, the father of mercy. HaMerachim, who is merciful. Racham Aleinu, have mercy upon us. I mean, it's a little funny, don't? Think about it. Here. Hi, Father, merciful Father, who is compassionate, have mercy upon us. What it means is a whole different concept. We're coming to God and we're saying, Ava Rachaman doesn't only mean mercy. Ava Rachaman means, God, we want the source of mercy. Of, the Father of mercy, it doesn't only mean merciful Father. In the English, they translate merciful Father. Ava Rachaman, if you think about it, also means, Mefarshim explained, the Father of mercy. Not the merciful Father. The Father of HaRachman, the Father of mercy, meaning the source of mercy. When we're davening, not only are we coming to Hashem, this is what the Rav Chesed is. Rav Chesed doesn't only mean an abundance of Chesed. Rav Chesed means to come to the source of where Chesed comes from, which is completely unlimited. And then we say, that Rachmanus, Rachim Aleinu, have pity on us. That level should be revealed to us.
Oh, yeah.
Not done yet. sound like somebody else ain't no standing there. Okay, that chesed, okay, even the person that doesn't deserve it. Now, another explanation of Rav Chesed, the Mefarshim explained, that when Hashem does chesed, he like, it's like Lahavdil in schools, when you take a bunch of tests, sometimes the teacher will drop the lowest grade and average out all the other grades. But he'll drop the lowest grade, you know what I'm talking about? If you have high school kids, you'll know what I'm talking about. Teacher will drop the lowest grade and then average out the highest, the rest of the grades. So they say, what does it mean? In fact, even in davening we say, Maverishin Rishin and Slichas, we say, Maverishin Rishin. What do you mean, Maverishin Rishin? Sometimes God lets the first sins go. He doesn't even count them. You know, after a while, God says, okay, come on, you know, I can't keep dropping the sins, you know. You keep failing, I can drop one grade, two grades, but how much do you expect me to drop? So, Rav Chesed means even those get Hashem doesn't start the drama until the third sin. Okay, so that's the next. Next one is Emes. V'rav chesed v'emes. Emes is like we said, Emes is the concept of truth, meaning God is good for his word. God says something, that's what it is. That's the definition of Emes. We also mentioned many times, it says in Yerushalmi, that Emes is spelled Aleph Mem Sof. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis. Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and Sof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. So Yerushalmi says that what does it mean, the concept of Emes? From the beginning, through the middle, all the way to the end. That's the attribute of Emes. And that's why, by the way, it's brought down, like we learned in Parshas Truma, about the, you remember the crush and the boards in the Mishkan, they had one pole, and then the middle pole went through and through the boards, and went all the way around. That's the level of Emes. And that's the level of the middle, which is Tiferes, which is Yaakov, which is Titin Emes, the Yaakov Chesed Lavram. Yaakov is the attribute of Emes, Avram Avinu is the attribute of Chesed, but here the Emes is the attribute, not only Yaakov Avinu, but the attribute of Emes, which goes from the beginning through the middle all the way to the end. They tell a story, there was once a Jew was accused, you know, during the blood libels, when the Goyim would kill a Jewish kid, and then they would blame a Jew. You know, the Goyim would kill and they would blame the Jew. So there's this Jew that was blamed for murdering a Goyish kid. And the guy was going to be killed by the government, you know, by whatever country it was. So it was a great tzaddik. What he did was, Kabbalistically, I don't know how he did it. No, no, no. That's not what the Gemara. It's a different one.
It's not a wonderful story.
He wrote. He took on a piece of paper after proper Kabbalistic preparations, and he wrote the word Emes. Put a paper with the kids with the word Emes on the kid's forehead, and the kid stood up and pointed at the guy that killed him.
I read the story.
You read the story? Okay, good. And then it says afterwards that when the kid lay down, the tzaddik took away the aleph, and it became mess.
Met
dead, and the kid died. At least he testified, and the guy admitted his guilt, and so on and so forth. But it's also brought down in Sfarim that aleph taker, emes is aleph met. Now aleph refers to God. Aleph one Hashem. Also, we learned aleph is yud yud vav. Look at the word letter aleph. How do you write the letter aleph? There's a yud on top, a yud at the bottom, and a vav in the middle, which is yud yud vav is 26, which is yud kei vav kei. So when you have aleph, then it becomes emet. When you take away God from the equation, then it's met, then it's dead. So the whole concept of emes is, it's the same thing that the Rebbe used to emphasize many times. You have the word gola, which is golus,
and geula.
What's the difference between gola and geula? Just an aleph. When you put an aleph into gola, it becomes geula. Meaning, when you put God into golut, or you put God into mes, you make it emes.